This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
New year, new me? Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances. Check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those New Year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO score 8 model. Offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening, watching, and following along with the Range Podcast. Before we get into this week's episode, I wanted to give you a sneak peek at a new film we made in collaboration with Prime, G5, Dialed, Sig Sauer, and Kairos Artisan Blend Seasonings. If you're listening, you can find the teaser video over on the Vapor Trail social channels. It's called Form the Storm, and the full film will launch tomorrow, February 25th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Prime Archery YouTube channel. I'm super excited about this. It was an amazing project, and the brands that we had the opportunity to work with make some of the best products that archery has to offer. Be sure to head over to their social channels and give them a follow.
You know, I assume at some point, you know, it's gonna stop. At some point, I'll be able to go on a Western hunt and have some good weather. There's a few of my friends that joke about going hunting with me and how common it is that I end up bringing a storm with me.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brule, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems.
Welcome to the Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brule, and I am here with my co-host, Mr. Jake Hollywood Iverson. How you doing today, man?
We're doing great.
Doing
another
good.
Snowplow weekend. I left off the last podcast saying I was going to go plowing, and here I am.
That's what you did.
I lived. I made it through it.
Yeah, I had to check in on you just to make sure. I'm like, man, you still out there plowing?
Yeah, I got home at 3:30 in the afternoon. It was a long 20 hours or whatever it was. So.
Meanwhile, I was flinging some drinks over at Smokey's.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm.
A little weekend shift?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. We're both making some side money.
Yeah. It was a good one because that snow, people get out on their snowmobiles, and then there was an ice fishing tournament on Coon Lake too. Ooh. So it was a good day. Good for a morning.
Pro tip, how to make it easy to buy out-of-state tags.
Yeah.
Side jobs.
Yeah.
It's like the money never actually was there. It just went right to the tag.
Absolutely. Well, folks, you can find the video version of this episode on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel. So make sure you head on over, give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. And, of course, if you're listening, give us a rating and a review. Only 5 stars will do.
Wow. Nice.
I've been working on getting that rhyme down for a while.
Little Tupac Shakur over here.
So, in any case, we're super excited today. We've got a guest on, and we talked about him a little bit. He is our new pro shop manager here at the Vapor Trail Pro Shop. His name is Daryl Lego, and, you know, I'm just going to let him kind of give you guys just a little introduction on who he is and what he does and his passions, and then we'll kind of take it from there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Welcome, man.
To be part of the team.
Yeah. We're excited.
Yeah. Get this baby thing out of the way and then fledge forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it's all fun from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, a little bit about me. I was kind of a late bloomer in the outdoors. I grew up in North Minneapolis, right in the hood.
Mm.
So did a little fishing down on the river and that kind of thing, but didn't really get into hunting until I think my first deer I shot with a gun was 19. So mm-hmm. I was kind of late that way and shot a 10 pointer. That was my first deer. And I was
nice.
Like, wow, well, this is easy. I can do this. And then, I actually did a little side job. We were just talking about side jobs, but to get a bow, I wanted to get into archery and got my first PSE. Mm-hmm. I think it was a PSE Diamondback or something like that.
Nice.
Old school aluminum arrows. And Went to a buddy's house up in Isanti and sat in his backyard of his 10 acres. And 45 minutes later, a 6-pointer came through. And I didn't know why my legs felt the way they felt. And it was a whole different feeling having a deer come at you with a bow versus a gun, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And shaking like a leaf, ended up shooting it over fresh snow. And I was just hooked ever since.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So that's kind of started the whole thing. And then did pheasant hunting and I like gun hunting and did bow fishing for a long time. Did that a lot of tournaments and that kind of thing. And then started at Cabela's. That's kind of where I was in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a mentor tell me, he's like, you know, if you're in sales or retail, you just got to find your niche in retail.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cabela's opened in Rogers back in probably before Woods was born. 2005.
Oh, no.
No?
No, close. That was 10 years after me. But still, close enough.
But Cabela's opened up there, and it was just opportunities. I went and applied for that and ended up getting a sales manager position there, overseeing the archery department and camping and auto ATV and all that stuff. And that just drove the passion more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about side jobs. You know, it was – imagine getting the stuff at a discount and then it's just where your paychecks go.
Yeah. I was just going to say, yeah.
Then they give you like an employee charge account too. Brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was brutal.
Oh, we didn't even get that at Shields. That would have been bad. I would have never been paid.
Yeah, it was awesome. And as a manager, you got a great discount because they had the bargain cave back then too. So you got like things at like half a cost.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just.
Oh, my gosh.
I miss it. I don't like paying full retail price anymore after having that. But
yeah, it's tough.
But, yeah, I did a lot of stuff with that and got to know a lot of great people and actually hunted, did some duck hunting out in Nebraska on the Cabela's property, private property on mm-hmm. the reserve on the Platte River there.
Oh, sweet.
And did that and went to their house because we went to Sydney for different product reviews and that kind of thing. And
right.
Just all the cool people you met, you know. Tiffany and Lee Lukowski and all those guys coming to the show. And then having archery, obviously, those guys would come back and do their little deals in archery and, you know, sign autographs and talk about product and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it just fueled it more and more. And then you get to meet people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'll take you bow fishing if you take me, you know, goose hunting in North Dakota or something like that. But and then archery just kind of grew and grew and grew. And I learned that's probably working there, not being – it was a semi-pro shop, but more enough of a pro shop to get guys set up, get them shooting, hitting paper, you know, and then getting them comfortable. And then that just grew outside of that, started doing – you know, I didn't do – much for, you know, I did 3D shoots and that kind of thing, but I didn't really do tournaments or anything like that. But known a lot of people that kind of kept venturing from there. Yeah. And then met Vapor Trail at Cabela's. We used to do winter choice strings. They took forever to get in. And, you know, then you get, next thing you know, your shop's full of bows just waiting on strings. And that's kind of where I met the Vapor Trail guys, and we got Vapor Trail strings in there because you can get them in a few days. And met all those guys, and it just kept feeling the fire. And did a lot of, I kind of got my hands in a lot in the outdoors. You can only do so much, but I wanted to do it all. Duck hunting, turkey hunting, deer hunting, bear hunting, elk hunting, and so slowed down. So now I'm getting older and my knee feels it. Kind of focus on turkey hunting. Love to take kids out or people have never been turkey hunting before. I'm doing turkey, deer hunting. I got a place, little cabin up on right off of Mille Lacs, with some family farms around there that I'm fortunate enough to hunt. I'll get out and do some deer hunting and that kind of thing. And then got into bass fishing pretty hardcore in 2016. I kind of jumped right in on that. I was like, yeah, bass fishing, let's go buy a boat, and bought a boat, and but did a lot of that. Love it. I'm not strictly bass. I fish for anything, but bass is a pretty good rush, especially being up on Mille Lacs.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I have a few guys that are guides up on Mille Lacs too that spoil me, so I can get up there and usually and get me on some fish pretty quick. I don't have to spend 2 days trying to find fish.
Especially that lake can be tough.
Yeah. You know,
we could have a whole fishing podcast now.
We could. We have to do that sometime.
I got all myself going through my head right now, but we'll curb it for another time.
Yeah, exactly. So. But, yeah, and I got a good friend lives out in Colorado, so I go out there quite often, and I've done some awesome stuff out there, fly fishing on the Arkansas River. And I got a, what was that thing, 23-inch brown trout last year.
Cool. Nice.
On a fly rod. That was.
That had been just adrenaline like crazy, too.
Even, like, the 11-inch one I was pumped about, and then this thing, and then I turn around, my buddies are just sitting on shore watching me, like, yeah, have fun with that one, you know. It took me for the rookie guy just taking forever to bring this thing in, but I finally brought him in. It was awesome. So, but and then currently just kind of different career paths and trying some stuff different, and things happen for a reason. And I think the big reason why I'm sitting here, got a baby on the way, in fact, about 19 hours away. She's so coming tomorrow morning. So, little girl. So pretty excited about that. And life has been a big change, but it's turning out pretty awesome.
Sounds like you're pretty blessed, and I think it's really awesome. When I had first found out about that, and I was just like, oh my goodness, this is a lot going on, you know. And so I think it's awesome. Good for you, and I'm excited for you, and I'm happy to have you here today so we can learn a little bit more about you. And that was quite the introduction. I think you might have already answered all my questions.
Sorry about
so
that.
I think with that, we're going to go ahead and pack up our boat. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's shoot.
Yeah. Right. We're super excited to have you. And honestly, we've had some people even reach out and say, you know, man, that was a good decision, you know, to bring you in. And I didn't know that. I mean, I wasn't shocked to find this out, but I didn't know that you had already previously known Johnny, and you know, it makes sense with you being at Cabela's. And then I also wanted to correct, too, I think I might have made a mistake, because I know when I worked with you at Cabela's the one time, maybe you were working at Cabela's. I thought you were like a representative for Bear.
No, you're right. For Hudala.
Okay, for Hudala. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. So that makes sense. I just wanted to make sure I had that right.
Yeah,
I'm
did.
Like, oh, man. And then, because didn't you, was it just the Rogers location that you worked at?
Yeah, I just worked at Rogers. I'm fortunate enough to travel around, did a lot of like grand openings, which was pretty cool. But it was just the Rogers location.
Yeah, yep. Right on. Okay. One of the questions I always like to ask is, what's your first bow? We covered that one.
Covered that. Got check.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So what are you currently shooting for?
I'm shooting a Prime Synergy.
Okay.
So it's a few years old, but it's I have that thing dialed in. I had a Hoyt CRX before that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish I never got rid of it. It was probably the best fitting bow I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then I got this Prime, had an opportunity to upgrade, and took me a little while to get the Prime tuned in, but it's money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, now it'll be hard for me to part with this one because it's just so dialed in.
Yes.
It's the same cam system, like my Nexus, that mm-hmm. four cam
yep.
deal.
And yep.
That's the same for me, that Nexus. I don't know if I'll ever get rid of it. My RVX, I might, but that thing just feels so perfect.
Yeah.
And I imagine for you, too, you have, what, max draw length?
31 and a half inches. Yeah. Like yeah. 3/4 inch loop.
Yeah, not small, so it's going to be hard to find a they are making a lot more bows with a longer ATA nowadays, yeah. But still, it can
I
be
tough. I could shoot short if I need to have done it, but.
Yeah, yeah, having that long of a draw length, it can be iffy getting a bow that actually feels good.
Correct.
So. Whereas me, I just wish for the speed that you get. It's easy to find a bow, but I don't get any speed behind it.
Yeah,
I
mean, you get that length, and then you get that, you know, mess around with the arrow weight, and yep. you can fling them down there pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly. You're shooting mm-hmm. pretty flat.
Mm-hmm. I told my brother when I shoot my brother, by the time his arrow gets down there, my arrow's yawning. It's like, yeah.
What's he shoot, a Matthews?
He's a Fred Bear Instinct.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Another single cam, I believe, yep. So yep. a little slower.
Yeah, that's cool. And then so you got the Synergy, right?
Yep.
And then so what about, like, I'm guessing when you start working here, you're probably going to get this itch where you're going to want to get something new.
Yeah.
Do you got your eyes on anything that you
Well, I saw the Expedition mm-hmm. just oh, this
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just got it this morning.
Yeah. I know Rory was kind of like, "They didn't even tell me it was here."
Oh, he didn't know yet?
He didn't know.
Yeah, we don't tell him anything.
Yeah, that's yeah. good because it's mine. Yeah. but no, that was – that. I'm surprised how light that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice bow.
Yeah.
It's out of I think they call it like magnite or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. It's like magnesium mixed with something else, but yeah. They have all the patents on it too, so they're the only company that can do that. But I think it's like 3.8 pounds or – it's right around the 4-pound mark, but yeah. it's really light.
It feels good in your hand. Mm-hmm. The Rise I've been looking at, you know, checking mm-hmm. that out. But I like yeah. something different. You know, even at Cabela's, we never had – you know, you didn't have a top brand, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So we had, you know, Diamond, which, you know, I think sold a lot of those because it had Bowtech tied to it. Because,
right.
you know, you mm-hmm. couldn't sell Matthews, you couldn't sell Hoyt.
Yeah.
Right. And then we had Fred Bear, which at that time, I'm excited about having Fred Bear here because I love selling Fred Bear. It's like mm-hmm. we were talking. It's like yeah. the Mossberg of bows.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a good workhorse, good value with them. You know, the acquiring Trophy Ridge and yep. you got a good package.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
Whisker Biscuit is a good learning rest for somebody, you know, and until they decide what they want. But it's a heck of a package. So, mm-hmm. and I've been doing yeah. a lot of research on their stuff too. And they're still in the game.
Oh, certainly.
They are in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they've got, you know, the hunting public backing it, but then also now you've got Chuck Adams is on board with Bear.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool too. I mean, that speaks to the quality yep. that they're putting together. And, you know, that new form, you know, the Prime, you're going to be hard pressed to get that out of my cold, dead fingers, but there's a lot of really nice bows that are coming out. And like you said, like with the Expedition, just looking at it, I haven't had a chance to really look at it close in detail, and the fit and finish on it is very good. All their finishes look real clean. And mm-hmm. So the price tag makes sense a little bit more once you hold it in your hand.
Yeah.
You
know? Compared yeah. to even the ones we had at the show, it was almost like they knew they were at the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, I don't know if they were obviously dinged up, but they looked like they've seen some stuff. A lot of the bows,
yeah.
like, you know, some were in time, some were, you know, this or that, whereas like it felt like a true display demo bow.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to see this one. It's like, oh, this is clean,
fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh and yeah. not all gummed up from everyone else. So
yeah,
it's nice having mm-hmm. that. But yeah, especially like Daryl's saying with Bear, they're definitely still on the scene. And I mean, it is so hard to beat the packages that they offer. I mean, Diamond is great for that reason too.
Yep.
But just, you know, they have that Trophy Ridge sight. It's good for what it is. You know, you get the multiple pins. It's not breaking the bank. And by the time you're out the door, I mean, you can still buy, you know, tags and maybe
you still have room
a
to
case.
Buy your accessories.
So, you know, if you, with the right package, you can get out of here pretty good. So it's awesome.
I'm with you on that old school camo though. Dude, that, yep. that's sick looking.
I know.
I love it.
I was just about to bring that up, too. And same with the Expedition. They do have the Bottomlands camo, but I love that Fred Bear.
Yep.
I think that's, like, Bear can make a killing with that camo. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is just dirty. Like, I think we have a couple persists coming in that color, too.
Oh, really?
I want to say at least the limb combo.
Cool.
I'd have to look back. It's been a little bit since we ordered them, but hopefully we have them here by the time everything's going.
So we might have to bring in a clothing line that uses that.
Bear offers that.
Yeah.
I believe Bear offers that.
You can just still look cool with the Vapor Trail logo. That old school Bear.
Hey, Rory, if you ever watch this video.
If you're watching.
Hats.
I need a rack of those.
Hats.
God. Shirts. We tried this. We've been on this. He actually has a like a prototype hoodie in his safe. But it's like the performance, you know, like our Prime sweatshirts. It's mm-hmm. like that. Just not good. The like logo came out so terrible. It was nasty. So
oh really?
But if we could get like a cotton one, oh that color, oh I would mess with that. and then duck blind too. Sorry, I'm going way down a rabbit hole.
That's awesome.
That old school camo just gets me going.
I do. I think it's awesome.
It's so sweet.
Yeah, I right away too. It was the same thing when I saw those in. I was like, ooh, this is really cool. I like that.
They're nice.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to your favorite hunting story. Like what?
Oh.
And if we can keep it within the realm of archery, that'd be the best. But even still, just good. Like if you've got like a like wild story about duck hunting or anything, just whatever you think is what's like the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about like either just like tons of emotion, you know, that kind of stuff.
Probably. If we're going to keep it archery-related, when the guillotine first came out. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, I was obsessed.
Yeah.
And I was practicing, you know, bananas, you know, just trying to hit them in the head. And I thought it was just awesome. And so, you know, you get it all set up. You get that one opportunity. The turkey comes in. And then you miss.
Mm, yeah.
You're just like...
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all that work and prep and talk and practice, and yeah. I couldn't shoot the turkey in the head. And then that was when I finally did it. I hit one, but I didn't think I hit it. But mm-hmm. it was, you know, all you have to do is like nick it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And getting a turkey with a guillotine was probably like awesome. I still like shooting turkeys with a shotgun,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you can run and gun them, you know.
Yeah.
But
oh yeah.
There's, you know, I have to pop the ground blind, do all that stuff. Yeah. But that was kind of when I felt like I hit sensei level on archery turkey hunting. I got that out of the way, and then figuring out how to shoot. Me and my buddy figuring out practicing in his backyard on how to shoot a, you know, that you can shoot an expandable like a Rage out of through the mesh. Mm-hmm. And still be on.
Oh.
So we did a lot of practice on that, you know, because, you know, that was the thing when expandables came out.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't do this with them and you can't do that with them. And we proved that theory wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still wouldn't risk that one.
I think with a rear deploy, you're probably in better shape than you would be with like a
front,
like a Grim Reaper or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then, you know, with turkeys too, you know, if you're wearing black in there and you know all about this stuff, right? Like they, for the most part, they can't, like, it doesn't spook them. But I'll tell you what, every single time I pick up my bow to draw, they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the way I'm set up. You know, maybe the light's coming in just at the perfect amount or whatever. So if you could do it with the you know, mesh down, I can see how that could be advantageous. But it's like, so now I get this, you know, like I'm trying to tuck myself as deep into the blind as I can, and I'm trying to draw it low. And then it's like, as soon as that comes up, all of a sudden they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they come out of strut and then they're just like, what's going on? Okay. No, something's not right. So then you're like, okay, I gotta, you know, and then you rush the shot. And
yep.
So, but I could see that, you know, and it's cool that you experimented with that,
yep.
you know, talking about going back to the guillotine broadhead, we used to mess around too, because, you know, we had a relationship with the guys over at Magnus. And so when the bullhead first came out, they were sending us those and we were playing around, and I've got some old video with Sonny where we took an old hen decoy and we cut the head off, and then we, I'm actually kind of embarrassed to talk about this, how much work we put into this. But, and then we would take, like, you know, the foam insulation for, like, piping and stuff like that. So we put an arrow shaft, we wrap that around, and we actually put a balloon in there with red dye.
That's a lot of work.
And then so we got a video camera on there, whatever, and we're shooting it, and then blood would spill out, you know, and we're like, ah! You know, it's like... Just the most ridiculous thing, right? But just goofing around with that. And then exactly to your point, I've felt that frustration 3 or 4 times now with a, you know, and at least it ends up being a complete miss, but I do have 2 birds that I killed with it. One of them was in Nebraska, and right when I was going to shoot, the bird gobbled and he was kind of facing us a little bit. So the blade kind of hit him on the top of the head and it went all the way down his neck. And just like cut a slit all the way down.
Just like,
that's crazy.
And it ran off and then just like did the crappie flop, you know, 80 yards away or something like that. We went over there and it looked like a murder scene. But so that was the first one. And then the second one, I just barely nicked the top of its head and it just put an incision about that big, but it dropped instantly. But my arrow just ricocheted down the valley and I never found it.
It's an amazing amount of blood.
But, yeah.
From, you know, shoot him in the head with a shotgun. You know, you get a little blood, but with the broadhead, it's...
Yeah.
There's a lot of blood in their heads.
I'm not sensei level yet, so I don't know. I've only shot 2, and it's been right in the chest for both.
Yeah. Now I'm just... I kind of go by Frank's theory, the idea of, you know, trying to get it right above the beard there. Mm-hmm. You know, seems like with a regular expandable broadhead or a broadside one, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm equally split between a mechanical broadhead and a guillotine style broadhead on the birds I've killed with a bow.
I think I've used fixed on both of mine so far. But the one that I shot up at Eric's, that whole like flashback is just like blank from my memory. Like I blacked out just because it happened so fast.
Yeah, I remember
like,
it? Yeah.
No, it was one of those deals where the mosquitoes were just killing me. I had a bunch of bug spray, but then my expletive left the freaking thermocell in the car, and so I'm sitting out there hood up just like everything, and finally I like peek over and the bird is doing the same thing. So it's one of those deals where it's just like this and then, you know, it's done. So yep. I put the pin roughly in its chest, but yeah, I no headshot at all.
Yeah, so. It's amazing how you don't remember the shot.
Nothing.
Like,
just done. Yeah. And then I just remember it going in the weeds and then done. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
But that's my 1 of 2. But you and Damon are all about this jellyhead stuff now, so.
No, I don't think I'll go back to it. Or,
are you
talking
back?
About with a shotgun?
Yeah. Are you coming back?
Yeah.
This year?
I always want to try to do it with a bow, but. Mm-hmm. Then I go out with my buddy Travis, and we usually only have like 2 or 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
So then that's when I like to have the shotgun. But I think this year we got some things in the works as far as trying to get some content. And so I think it's going to be bow tag out on the opener and trying to get some content, get some footage. So it'll be, and maybe you're not privy to this, but you're in on it too, just so you know. But we're going to try to see if we can't figure that out. So I probably won't be getting a shotgun because I want to make sure I have the whole season.
Well, like Daryl was saying with the run and gun, that's so cool. I've always wanted to hunt that way. With a bow, it's so flipping hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's just almost impossible.
It is.
Yeah.
But I'm so set in my ways. I won't pick up the gun.
Yeah. I can't crawl around on the ground. Like, you see the guys go up with the turkey decoys, the fan decoys getting close. I'm not designed to crawl around on the ground like that.
No.
So it's hide behind a tree or something for me. But
here's a question I got for Daryl. What's his – so he said his draw length. How tall are you, 6'5"?
6'3".
Oh, man. 6'3". Yeah. Jeez. What's your boot size?
14.
Yeah, I looked about that. It's not the size of my leg.
Yeah, size 14 leg, bro.
Yeah, Daryl's not crawling through the grass. That's
nope,
crazy.
Nope, I'm not designed to crawl through the grass or jump off things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't deny, you know, part of the reason why I did not use a shotgun on turkeys is just because of the flack I was concerned that I would get from Steve, because he would always be like, don't do it, you'll regret it. Don't do it, you'll regret it. And it's a blast, like, running around with my buddy Travis. Like, it's so fun, you know, just like you said, running and gunning. You're out there for the full day, you know, and calling, you know, trying to trick them, you know, because they're smarter than you think.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even with the shotgun, you know, I swear, you know, one of the things that we figured out is, like, when you do a sit and you feel like, okay, it's probably time, I don't think anything's coming in, sit 30 more minutes. And we say that every year, and we don't follow that rule. And then as soon as we get up, boom, birds come blown out of there every time it happens. So as soon as you think it's time to be done,
give it another half hour.
Sit for half or maybe an hour even. Yep. You know what I mean? You're already there. You're already probably freezing anyways. So
that early, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go somewhere. Like, I've done turkey in Kansas, went to the Black Hills a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then been out in South Dakota, I don't know, two or three times turkey hunting. It's fun running, gunning them. But it's the same thing. If you're not, you don't pay attention, all of a sudden you come over a ridge or just a little hill, and there's just a flock of them, and you bust them, and you're just...
It's defeating.
If I would have just came up slower, wasn't so excited, waited longer. And we went in a snowstorm. We were in a hot tent in South Dakota, and we got there during a 6-inch snowstorm in the Black Hills. It was gorgeous, but... And even with the shotgun, I mean, we ended up getting birds, but we worked hard for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet.
We worked hard for them. They're smart.
Yeah, Jeremiah, if you get a chance, bring up turkeys. Jeremiah, he's like our Vapor Trails pro of turkeys. Like, that dude is just hardcore with turkeys.
His daughters are whacking them every year.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That dude is a fanatic for it. It's crazy. Yeah. It's fun, though. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And I just started. Like, literally 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Just started, so.
That's cute. You got two.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel, too. I'm the rookie.
I think my body count on turkeys is probably... I was trying to figure this out not too long ago. I think I'm easily over 40.
Wow. Good
Lord.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
It's one of the things that I kept hunting. Like, duck hunting's fun, but it's a lot of work.
Lots of work.
You know, goose hunting's fun. If somebody invites me, I'll go. Just a lot of work. Yep. It's just turkey, though, is... Something that my first turkey I shot was in South Dakota on the Rosebud Indian Reservation, because back then it was easier to get out of state tag than it was in Minnesota. It took me 4 years before I drew a tag in Minnesota.
I
had already hunted Wisconsin and South Dakota before I got a tag to hunt in my own state, which was crazy. But it's one of the ones I kept because turkey hunting is fun, and I've taken a lot of people. I got my nephew his first. Of course, he shot nothing but Tom. He's shot two or three birds now, nothing but Toms.
Yeah.
Took my brother down to Kansas. You can shoot two down there.
Nice.
And I took my brother down there, and he got his first one. He ended up getting a bearded hen. I was so mad he shot, and I'm like, dude, you can't shoot those. And he's like, no, I swear I had a beard. I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. So we finally walked up on the bird, and I'm like, I look at the legs right away, and there's no spurs. I'm like, bro, you can't do that. He's like, I swear it had a beard. And he flipped it over, and it's got this 7-inch long, straggly beard thing. I'm like, wow, he was right. So at least that's his first, you know, the first thing he shot. He's kind of, my brother, I don't know what his deal is. He shoots weird things. His first buck was a, you know, he's like, I swear it was a 10-pointer. It had two big antlers, and it was huge and big body. And I'm like, okay. And you shot it right through the heart, right, because we can't find it. We end up finding it. It was a big deer, but it had one antler. It was a mainframe 10, but the other one grew, like, down along the side of its head. It's actually I skull-mounted it for him, and it turned out pretty cool. But my brother's like, what's my deal? Why can't I shoot, like, a real animal? Like, I just want to be normal and get normal things. So,
speaking of what you're saying,
Jake
breaking.
Yep.
You know, Minnesota, it's funny because when I was growing up, I didn't even know we had turkeys in Minnesota. You know, I was northwest Minnesota. And then I moved to Duluth, and I was there for 5 years, and I was down in Arizona. And then when I came back here, I was living in Minneapolis, and when I was working at Sportsman's Warehouse, and I was, like, just shocked to know that, you know, and I had, you know, I always watch videos, like, you know, TV shows and stuff of turkey hunting, and I'm just like, I don't get it. it just never was intriguing to me to even watch turkey hunting or anything like that. But then I started watching the Double Bull videos with Brooks and Keith Beam. And these guys, I mean, if you get a chance, I don't even know if they have them. They're probably just on VHS for all I know. I mean, I think you can maybe find some on DVD. But, man, the turkey hunting they did, they made me want to hunt turkeys. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, this, it looks like fun. That looks like a blast. And then, of course, then we had, you know, Brett from Double Bull coming in and doing demos and stuff and showing us how to set the blinds up. And I'm just like, man, that's really slick. And yeah, then you just, when you do it, then you're like, oh, okay. And then when you watch other people hunt, now you're like,
yeah,
gets you pumped up, right? So it's like, it is. It's exciting. They're the most frustrating thing I've ever hunted, which, there, you know, there's that whole thing about embracing the suck, right? Like, why do we do it? It sucks. It's terrible. But it's just, it's challenging, you know, it gets you really having to think outside the box, and it's about the closest thing to elk hunting we get around here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's, yeah, for all those I've shot, it's, everyone has a cool story and they're not easy. I mean, sometimes you get really lucky.
Yeah.
And, you know, my brother and I, a couple years ago, I took him out and we went up to the farm up north and kind of did the got up late thing, you know, have some breakfast. And I actually don't mind getting up early and getting out there before the roost, but I actually like getting out there right around lunch and mm-hmm. roaming around when the birds are moving and they're not flocked up. And we end up going out and I hit the call and got a couple gobbles. We set up and got it on video and we both shot doubles. And two birds were like, all right, well, that's done. And
that's,
you
so
know,
sweet.
So we've done that, got that on video. Taking youth out, I think that's, yeah, it's pretty cool watching somebody else shoot, whether it's a deer or a turkey. My brother's nephew, we took out, and it all worked out well for us. We sat down. My brother's sitting with his son. I'm sitting with his nephew, and he's sitting in front of me, and he listens so well. And I had this Jake just come in, like, on a string, and he's blowing up or whatever. And I could just feel him shaking in front of me, you know? And I was just like, aim and shoot. And he shot, and he was so excited. And I don't know, the kid thing just gets you excited.
Yeah.
And now he hunts with his dad. Him and his dad go turkey hunting and all that. And my nephew is opposite of my brother. My nephew shoots big stuff.
Yeah.
My brother can't do it. He shot some big toms. In fact, one of the biggest toms I've ever seen. We both went to shoot at the same time because they came around the blind on us, and I wanted him to get one, but I was like, man, if we could double up, it'd be sweet. So I kind of rushed mine a little bit,
mm-hmm. yep.
and he shot his, and then the one I shot took off, and I was like, man, that's a monster. It was a monster bird. Mm-hmm. It was like a paintbrush. Oof. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's just like, this is easy. I could shoot toms, you know, and he's got all these.
Yeah, yeah, it must be nice.
Lucky duck.
Well, you'll find out soon enough. You keep turkey hunting. You'll figure it out.
It took me 26 years to, I think it's 26 years before I even tried it because I was like, oh, that's such a stupid thing. Like, those birds are dumb. They're easy. Why would I ever do it? And then it took me one more year after I started to even get one.
Yep.
It took the first year of just eating it.
And yep.
Yeah, even on private property, I think every hunt, yeah, there's a couple on public, but every hunt, for the most part, that first year was private. And even then, mm-hmm. I still couldn't get it done.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because of misses. It was just like, they don't work. Sometimes they don't work.
Yep, there's a lot of factors where they hang up on you.
Yep.
I've had that. They just sit there at 60 yards and just mm-hmm. like they know you're there.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And they walk the other way, or then, you know, everything is going perfect and out comes a coyote stalking it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or I've had my decoys taken out by a coyote before. And or you have the, you know, trespasser or somebody that decides to come wandering through the property.
For mm-hmm. the public, public hunting, I had that a lot every time.
Yep.
And then I just catch a lot of flack for just going public. Whatever. I like it rough.
Well, you like it real celebrate. Rough. I can't wait to celebrate your third turkey.
Yeah. I am too. I'm waiting. Waiting for this year to come. We'll see what happens.
I do have I'll go back to what you asked that question, the kind of wild archery hunt. I went bear hunting. I was supposed to go to Lake Michigan salmon fishing with my boss at the time, and the weather was really bad. So he's like, well, I got some bait set up. You rather go you know, go bear hunting instead. I'm like, well, sure, if you got the bait set up.
What a wild thought.
Yeah, sure, right? Why not? I'll do that. So that was up on Mille Lacs too, and it was on the east side of the lake on some state land. And he already had the ladder stand set up or whatever and the baits. And so grabbed the bow and went out there, and I think it was the second or third night, because I was on a four-wheeler kind of going through the state land that I didn't really, you know, follow the trail and hope you make it out kind of thing. And sun's starting to go down. I look down at the bait, and I'm like, all right, just kind of now like, okay, I got to get down, get on the four-wheeler, remember to get back, you know, kind of more focused on that. And then I look back at the bait, and there's a skunk at the bait. I'm like, oh, great. Then the skunk walks up the bait right under my tree and goes right by me where the four-wheeler is. So now I'm like, great. I get down in the dark. There's a skunk somewhere. I'm going to eat skunk. I'm just going to stink. I knew I was going to get sprayed because that's my luck. So I'm looking back, trying to see if I could see this thing. I turn around and look back, and there's a bear just sitting right in the bait.
Oh.
And I'm like, holy crap. So I'm like, is it too dark? Should I shoot? Should I not shoot? Pulled back, shot. Bear did the awesome, you know, the boof, you know, that sound they make, and took off, and it sounded like a freight train going through the woods. So now I don't want to get down because there's a bear and there's a skunk. So finally get down, get back on the four-wheeler, get back to where the guys are and let them know that I shot one with the bow. Well, they were all gun hunting. I was the only one bow hunting.
Oh.
And they're like, I'm like, no, I shot one. They're like, no, you didn't. I said, no, I shot one. They're like, really, with the bow? We can't shoot with a gun, and you shot one with a bow? I'm like, yeah, he was just there. So they've been doing it for like 20 years. So they were ready. I'm like, do we wait till tomorrow? Like, what do we do? They're like, oh, we're going to go back now. And I'm like, but I just shot it. Like, so we ended up going back in there, and I was just kind of more, now I was just the guy following these guys that knew what they were doing. And we ended up pushing the bear, found half my arrow broke off. And then pushing the bear to the point where, like, we literally came up on the bear. So that was pretty freaky at night. Yeah, I had my 45 with me. My eyes hurt for, like, 3 days because you're just you know, doing this thing in the dark. And we jumped the bear, marked it, got out, went back the next day, and followed it down into the swamp. And it I didn't know this was a thing, but it just rolled around in, like, the muck and the mud and no bear, but we found out where he was. Followed the blood trail there and never found the bear.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, so I was kind of a bum. That was my first time ever losing an animal.
Yeah.
So I've shot. So they say, like, they plug up or they, you know, they kind of roll around with the wound or whatever, and it kind of packs the wound. But that was pretty bummed. I would have. Yeah. It was a lot of work, but that was pretty wild. So now that was my hunt that I always, like, because I was pretty confident with my shot, but I know I rushed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I always replay in my head of, like, if I don't have a good shot, I'm not taking it.
Yeah,
right. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, sometimes I feel I wait. There's always that, like, do you wait or do you just take the first shot you get? And then sometimes I'm like, well, this year, I mean, that was a, technically I had limits and hands bound for why I couldn't shoot that far, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to take the chance when the doe is right next to me and I could maybe have that monster come walking right to me. But there's still that thought of what if.
Yeah, I mean, you got the best possible decoy you could have standing there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To hopefully lure that buck in.
I just don't want to be that guy that wounds one, you know? And so I just sometimes I think I'm a little too lenient on letting things walk. Maybe I should try it, but I don't know. I don't want to wound one and then have that thought in my mind, like the what if of, man, what if I did let it come in closer? What if, you know, this or that? So,
yeah, I wouldn't question it. I feel like if you always err to the side of caution, you know, you should be happy with that decision regardless. I mean, I'm sure it'd be tough if it was a, you know, 150-inch whitetail.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite that, but he's big.
But 125-inch whitetail, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things where, because if I've wounded a few, two out in North Dakota, and it's not cool. Because with me, I'm going to do an exhaustive effort to make sure I either find that deer again and get another arrow in it. I'm not moving on to just letting it, okay, whatever, can't find them after an afternoon and then move on to hunting the next animal. You know what I mean? Right. Not doing that. One of the times it did get to that point where it's just like, okay, that deer is, we're not getting that deer, you know, and then you move on, but an exhaustive effort to make sure that we try to get on it. You know, the one year me and my buddy Travis doubled up on mule deer, it was the same thing. You know, we went after his buck. I think it was 3 days it took us after he put the first arrow
into it.
And we ended up getting them. But,
wow.
Yeah, it was every day we kept finding them, you know, and kept getting into position. And he kept, well, I won't get too deep into the details with it. It's just, you know, one of those things where we made the mistake of not double checking to see if his point of impact was good after travel.
Yep.
And so we came to find out that his bow was off, dialed it in again, and then the next shot he took was money.
Money.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty wild. Bear hunting is one of my favorite things, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome, but really the best part is everything that leads up to it.
Mm-hmm.
The baiting and hanging out and getting your buddies together and setting up cameras, pulling the cards and doing all that stuff. I did that with the Vapor Trail boys for several years in a row, and that was probably the best part. And then, you know, and then you hunt and then get the bear, and that's all cool too, but it's, I don't know, it's not as fun as everything that leads up to it.
That's the preparation.
Yeah.
I think the most fun part I've had with bear, I'm just going to call it bear baiting so far, because I've like hunted all of like 8 hours. Like I've hardly ever put too many hours in. Not the greatest luck there either, but the baiting, like when you get the cameras on it, especially nowadays with like cell cams, oh dude, it's so fun. You're just like waiting and waiting and waiting, then finally boom, there goes the camera. It's like, there it is, it's a raccoon. And then it's like, oh, finally, like you finally get that one notification of the bear. It's like, oh, this is when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see if I do it again this year. I don't know, public land's tough too.
It is.
So
it is.
It's really tough.
Yeah, I'll probably draw for the Boundary Waters this year, but I don't know. It just depends on how things go, because I really would like to do elk.
Yeah, same.
This year, but we'll see how that all plays out. We just got to kind of figure out what we need content-wise and how that stuff's all going to kind of pan out. But, we'll see what happens with that. Speaking of that, it's probably no mystery that you'll be doing some turkey hunting this year. Are you going to do any out-of-state stuff, or?
I don't know if I'll do out-of-state this year with the little one coming.
Yeah,
but I am kind of spoiled with having, my family has 200-300-acre farms that are within a couple miles of my cabin. So, and they're littered with turkeys.
Nice.
So it's
nice.
That's fun. I mean, again, it's still not a guarantee, but it's still good enough to get up there and at least make a mistake or get lucky and get one.
Yeah.
I don't have anything planned for out of state.
No. What about for deer in the fall?
I'd like to get back to Nebraska. I did the Sand Hills a couple of years ago with my buddy. We drew tags out there, and we were gun hunting out there, but we thought where we were going, we were pretty set, but there was a lot of people. We were we literally, the one buck we saw, we, you know, started going after it, and 100 yards into it, you know, shots started ringing out, so it was pretty tough. He ended up getting a whitetail buck, and I got a doe just so we weren't coming back, you know, empty-handed. But I would like to get out there again, or back down to Kansas. I could live in Kansas.
Yeah.
I love the deer in Kansas. There's big ones down there.
Yeah.
public land in Kansas too?
That was private land. I went with like an outfitter down there. It's free range, but it was.
Yeah.
Even when I turkey hunted down there on private land, I had a friend down there, and I don't know, I probably turkey hunted 7 or 8 years in a row down there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But you get to see a lot of deer and a lot of sign down there.
Right.
Yeah. Never been to either one of those yet, as far as hunting.
Yeah, so. I haven't either.
The Sand Hills was just, I mean, again, you go for the scene, like the Black Hills. I mean, that was so cool. We went up on this one spot and come across a herd of elk. And I look on the left side of the truck and the right side of the truck, and we split the herd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first time ever being to the Black Hills, and I was infatuated.
Black Hills
and I was like, awesome. Oh, yeah, we're here to turkey hunt, you know, and you see wild, you know, you see goats or rams or whatever they have there. And, but yeah, that was gorgeous. And then the sand hills was a whole different thing. You're just standing out in the middle of nowhere and it's just these sand dunes and coyotes, and the stars are so bright you didn't even need a light. Like, I could still take a picture of my phone, and from the light from the stars was bright enough that you could see the picture. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. Awesome. Yeah, the Black Hills is definitely like a unique ecosystem. I mean, like, you can see it from satellite photos. You can see that little spot right there. It's definitely set apart from the rest of the state and the country for that matter. But you got any other questions?
Are you still bear hunting, or 'cause up around there, I know, depending on where you're at, you either are waiting a long time or no time, but
I bear hunted a few times, so I shot that one that I didn't find, and then I went two other years and did the whole baiting thing and didn't get one. Spent hours and hours in the stand and didn't get anything. So I've experienced that as well. And then I actually have another bear story. I was driving up to my cabin going through Malacca, coming out of Malacca about 10:30 at night, and saw this truck hit something. And I turned around, I saw the bear in the ditch, and checked on the guy or whatever, and went back, checked on the bear, and it was massive. It was a 6.5-foot bear in the ditch, just a beast.
Yeah.
Ended up getting permission from the DNR to take it, because with bear in Minnesota, they don't just write you a tag like they do with deer. So because I was technically part of the accident or witness or something, a CO allowed me to take the bear. So went and got my trailer, drove all the way back down. Me and my cousin, who makes me look small, struggled getting that bear into the trailer.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting the trailer, got it home the next day, or to the cabin the next day, and spent the whole day skinning it out, the hide, everything. But it was we were about 600-pound bear.
Holy.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, even the, like, 180-pound bear that I shot, like, they're like jello.
Yeah.
Trying to move them. They're not like deer where you've got, you know, some solid legs you can grab onto. I mean, they're just like floppy dead weight.
Yep. Yeah, and that was the thing, just trying to skin them out. And then even after I skinned them out, I couldn't pick up the hide and put it on the tailgate of my truck because it was so heavy.
Yeah.
And then like the ankles, trying to get the feet broken off. I mean, it's just like sawing through. And then I did a beetle mount on the skull, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then took that in, and that's in the Minnesota record book.
Yeah.
Really?
That's pretty cool. Sweet.
Yeah. How do they measure those again? It's width and length.
Very front of the teeth to the back of the skull.
And what do you know what size it was?
That one was just almost 21 inches.
Yeah,
that's huge for black Jesus. Bear. That's
big. Yeah, so it's a cool story. I mean, I didn't kill it or anything, but you know, harvest all the meat, kept the hide, tan the hide. I still have the hide. I can hold it over my head, and the feet are still touching the ground. So. Really cool That's story. Felt crazy. Good that I harvested it.
Yeah,
but the hide was in great shape. I mean, it was like this Tahoe was destroyed and the bear had a broken back.
Yeah.
It just snapped its back. It didn't have any cuts, or it had a little road rash, but it had a beautiful hide because it was it was in the spring.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
it had just a beautiful hide. And so I had it all tanned and.
Sweet. Yeah.
Nice.
That's sweet.
Yeah. But I haven't done it's a lot of work to do bear. It's like,
it is.
I'm more like, I'm now retiring. I built a box blind. A couple years ago, you know, heat and comfort and really nice. And I'll every now and then go up in the ladder stand or something, but I kind of feel like I earned my old man box blind.
And the baiting too, it's fun, but it's tough because you're, you know, well, especially where we were baiting, it's like we would go up every weekend, like on a Saturday, and it'd be the whole day.
Yeah.
We'd get up there, you know, right as the sun's coming up, and we'd be out there all day baiting. And that's 4 weekends in a row in August. You know what I mean? So, like, any of your weekend plans for the entire month of August
revolve around that.
Kaboom. And then your weeks are toast, too, because
you're potentially
busy
ripping.
Here
trying
to get bowstrings out to everybody. So it's just, so it ends up being a lot, you know, and I've thought about that, too. Like, that'd be kind of fun to go up to Canada and, you know, do a hunt with an outfitter or something like that. I think that'd be kind of fun too, just because of the whole camp you know, environment and all that, you know, hanging out with a bunch of like-minded individuals and all that. But, so yeah, I think, I don't know. I think that's all I got. You got anything else, Hollywood?
My brain's rushing.
He's thinking about turkeys.
Yeah. We definitely got to get you on some more. You know, I think with, you know, with you being in the pro shop and stuff like that, you know, I think you're definitely going to be our turkey guru, you know, so we'll have, you know, if you're willing and want to, you know, we can definitely try to get you on some more. I know we literally just talked about how Mondays will probably be the days we record, which is your day off. So, you know, we'll work around that. But, but yeah, that this is great. You know, thanks. It was really, really awesome to get to know you a little bit more. And I'm sure, you know, I'm excited to get to know you even more and hopefully go on some hunts with you and maybe get, you still got that bass boat?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll be doing some fishing.
So
I can't get rid of that. That's my baby.
But, well, that's the thing, right? What do they say? The two best days of your life is the day you buy a boat and then the day you sell it, right? But, you know, I don't know.
I don't think she's going anywhere.
I'd love to have a boat.
It was the same thing. I had that boat. I bought that boat from a guy that was a tournament director. So I had a lot of low hours on it because he wasn't, you know, driving a lot. He was just towing around, getting the tournaments ready and all that. And then I had my boat stored up on Mille Lacs, and the week before I picked it up, the building collapsed from a snow load and smashed my boat.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the beam of the building went right through my motor, 225 horse mercury, just right through it. And I actually had the motor trimmed down, so the trailer took a little bit of damage or some fiberglass damage, took my Altrex shaft and bent that in half of my trolling motor. And so at that point, I was like, it was going to be done, but I ended up, insurance totaled the boat, but then gave me the boat back. I didn't even have to buy it back.
Nice.
So I ended up fixing some of the stuff and then fixing the trailer and then had the boat inspected and the hull was fine. And then ended up upgrading a motor. So I got like a 11 or 12 years newer motor, but it's kind of like I was telling you with the bow. It was like that boat was so tuned in with the other motor, everything. It was just, it was awesome. And it took me 3 or 4 years messing around with props and all that stuff to get that boat.
Yeah.
And now I have it tuned in to where, you know.
They're flowing together.
Yeah, it goes about 70 miles an hour. So it moves pretty quick.
What type of boat is this?
It's a Triton bass boat. Triton, 20 foot. Yeah. So it moves pretty quick, but it takes a while to get all that stuff tuned in. And
I'm sure.
Props are not like – it's not like you just go swap a prop for $50. You know, they're $500-$600. So you're borrowing a prop from somebody to try this pitch versus this pitch and all that stuff and hole shot and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. I think my one last question I want is, what's your favorite way to either cook deer or your turkey?
Turkey – my infatuation now is I found this marinade, so I'll just breast out the turkey. Mm-hmm. I used to do, in the beginning, you know, plucking and all that crap. It's wild turkeys don't, their legs aren't good.
Yeah.
Like, it's it's breast only. So breast them out. There's this marinade that I found. It's like olive oil, 7-Up. Olive oil, 7-Up, soy sauce, garlic, some other stuff. You let it go overnight, and then you smoke it. And it is so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is this a Traeger smoker?
Huh?
Traeger?
Yes. Yeah, I'm hardcore Sweet. Traeger.
This but, is a question I think we got to start asking everyone.
I like that. How we cook.
Yeah.
I found smoking them is the best way, too.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's so good. And I can, you know, vacuum seal it, slice it up, vacuum seal it. But that's the new way that I do it now.
Oh, and it then, sounds good.
Yeah, venison, I bacon wrap back straps or, you know, just somewhere on the grill.
Yeah. Kind of go to, you can't mess those up.
Yeah. I'm big into smoking meat and cooking meat, you know,
yeah.
Whether it's venison or ribs or brisket or whatever.
That's so sweet.
I'm known for barbecue, which I'm okay with.
Yeah. I love it too. I just don't have a smoker. So I kind of need to buy that. Well, we got Camp Chef connections, don't we?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good ones. I mean, Traeger's a good brand. They last long, too. I won one at Cabela's. We had a contest in my camping department back in, 2007. Yeah. I still have that one at my cabin.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Sweet. Yeah. I still, you know, replace some components, but they last pretty good. But there's a lot of them with Camp Chef and Pit Boss. And,
yeah.
But get yourself a smoker.
Yeah. You should. Definitely.
I cooked my first turkey on one, and it was amazing. So I was hoping you were kind of going to say that.
Yeah. Well,
And I just started thinking about that. I'm like, we might have to talk Rory into getting getting a smoker here, yeah. You know, because then, you know, we get a little bit of downtime. You know, I still have a ton of venison that I need to go through.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean?
We got a loading dock.
And going back to what you're talking about with turkeys, right? Like, I've done that too, where I plucked one of my birds and I was like, yeah, it's going to be Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I mean? And
it's not the same.
And yeah, everybody was like, yeah, let's just, for Thanksgiving, let's stick to
they're
the
still
old
chewing it.
Butterball.
Mm, yeah, this is good. Trying to be nice to you.
Yeah. So,
they're dry.
Yeah.
They're dry.
But yeah, smoking it, it's a great way to do it.
Yeah. I loved mine. And we just did breasts too. Nothing
yeah, I'll
else.
Get you that recipe. It is really good. You just, yeah, bring it up to temperature and you start slicing up and it's nice and juicy and oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds amazing.
So good.
I love it. I love talking about this on a day that's 5 below as a high.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, we're sitting at still 5 below. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyways. Well, awesome, dude. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I'm
we appreciate
to be part
it.
Of the team.
You know, you're going to be doing the dad thing here for, you know, starting tomorrow and for the foreseeable future. And then, you know, we'll get you sometime mid-March and then we'll hit the ground running and we'll have everything ready for you. We'll have you set up for success when you get here. So
yeah, I'm excited to be here and see some old faces and
yeah.
Feels good to talk. This is where I'm meant to be. I love talking hunting and fishing. I can, that's a conversation I can join. Like if I'm in a room of anything.
Yeah.
Whoever's talking about something outdoors, that's where you find me. So. Yeah,
it's fun. That's for sure. We're excited to have you. It'll be really fun.
Heck
yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Excellent. All right, folks. Well, don't forget to check this episode out on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel. You make sure you give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. And, of course, if you're listening, give us a rating and a review. Only 5 stars.
Nothing less.
That's right. And with that, we are going to pack up our bows and arrows
and go to the range.
Have a great day, everybody.
Peace.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stokerized branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.
2 Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, 2 Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. 2 Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.